Chapter 7. A beastly vision. Begin reading in verse 1. What? Okay. Mumbling, okay. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream. And visions passed through his mind as he was lying on his bed. And he wrote down the substance of his dream. Daniel said, "In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me were the four winds of heaven churning up the great sea. Four great beasts, each different from the others, came up out of the sea. The first was like a lion, and had the wings of an eagle. And I watched until the wings were torn off, and it was lifted from the ground so that it stood on 2 feet like a man. And the heart of a man was given to it. And there before me was a second beast, which looked like a bear. And it was raised up on one side of on one of its sides, and had three ribs in its mouth between its teeth. It was told, 'Get up and eat your fill of flesh.' And after that I looked, and there before me was another beast, one that looked like a leopard. And on his back it had four wings like those of a bird. This beast had four heads and was given authority to rule. And after that, in my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was a fourth beast, terrifying and frightening and very powerful. It had large iron teeth, and it crushed and devoured its victims and trampled underfoot whatever was left. It was different from all the former beasts, and it had 10 horns. And while I was thinking about the horns, there before me was another horn, a little one, which came up among them, and three of the first horns were uprooted before it. This horn had eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth that spoke boastfully. And as I looked, thrones were set in place, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. And his clothing was white as snow, and his hair of his head was white like wool. And his throne was flaming with fire, and his wheels were all ablaze. And a river of fire was flowing, coming out from before him. And thousands upon thousands attended him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated and the books were opened. And then I continued to watch because of the boastful words the horn was speaking. And I kept looking until the beast was slain and his body destroyed and thrown into the blazing fire. The other beasts had been stripped of their authority, but were allowed to live for a period of time. In my vision at night I looked, and there before me was one like the son of a man, coming from the clouds of heaven. And he approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. And he was given authority and glory and sovereign power. All peoples, nations, and men of every language worshiped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will never pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. I, Daniel, was troubled in spirit, and the visions passed through my mind disturbed me. I approached one of those standing there and asked him what is the true meaning of all of this. So he told me and gave me the interpretation of these things. The four great beasts are the kingdoms that will rise from the earth, but the saints of the Most High will receive the kingdom and will possess it forever. Yes, forever and ever. Then I wanted to know the true meaning of the fourth beast, which was different from all the others, most terrifying, with its iron teeth and bronze claws, the beast that crushed and devoured its victims and trampled underfoot whatever was left. I also wanted to know about the 10 horns on his head and about the other horn that came up before which three of them fell, and the horn that looked more imposing than the others and that had eyes and a mouth and spoke boastfully. And as I watched, this horn was waging war against the saints and defeating them until the Ancient of Days came and pronounced judgment in favor of the saints of the Most High. And the time came when they possessed the kingdom. He gave me this explanation. The fourth beast is a fourth kingdom that will appear on earth. And it will be different from all the other kingdoms, and it will devour the whole earth, trampling it down and crushing it. The 10 horns are the 10 kings who will come in from this kingdom. After them, another king will arise different from the earlier ones, and he will subdue 3 kings. And he will speak against the Most High and oppress his saints and try to change and set times and laws. The saints will be handed over to him for a time, times, and half a time. But the court will sit, and his power will be taken away, completely destroyed forever. Then the sovereignty, power, and greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven will be handed over to the saints, and the people of the Most High. His kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom, and all the rulers will worship and obey him. This is the end of the matter. I, Daniel, was deeply troubled by my thoughts, and my face turned pale, but I kept the matter to myself. Now, when you stop and think about these words that were written a couple of thousand years before Revelation was given to John on the island of Patmos, you start to see that God's plan has always been intact. It's always been this way. And a lot of people read through this and they don't understand exactly what it's talking about, but you have to look at it through the microscope or through the telescope, more like it, of Revelation. And it, when you do that, you begin to see everything that was being spoken to Daniel in this dream and dream and shown to him in this dream is also shown to us as believers in the book of Revelation. First of all, God's definition of prophecy is found in Isaiah chapter 46, verse 10. God prophesies for our purpose. And look at what it says. It says, I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times what is still to come. I say, my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. In other words, God says, this has all been put into place before this world even came to be. And I already know exactly what's going to happen, and I know when it's going to happen, and I'm telling you how it's going to happen, and then you're going to see it come to pass in the same way I said it's going to happen, so that you will know that I'm in charge, and you will know that I'm sovereign God. Prophecy, from God's perspective, is totally different than what we think of as prophecy. See, we think of prophecy as something that's going to happen way out there in the future somewhere. But not for God. God's already put everything into place. In these visions, that are, in this dream that Daniel was having, he talks about four world kingdoms. It's interesting that the first one is talked about as a lion slash eagle. Well, if you look at the Babylonians who were in charge at the time that Daniel was now second in command of all of Babylon, their national symbol was a winged lion. Its feathers will be plucked, the scripture says. Babylon's power did begin to fail, and it was taken, in fact, by the end of it. You recall when we went through this last week, or 2 weeks ago, we didn't meet last week, but 2 weeks ago when we went through this, they were having a party, and the hand came and wrote on the wall, you remember? And as the hand was writing on the wall, the Babylon was being surrounded, and they gave up because they knew they couldn't win. And so this was the first of the beasts that were talked about. The second one was the bear. These were the Medo-Persians, the ones who came and took over Babylon. And the Medo-Persians were the ones who began to spread out and start conquering nations around them. The bear leaning on one side indicates two nations that are together, the Medes and the Persians, but one was stronger than the other. We know the Persians eventually crushed the Medes and took over. The three ribs indicate the three empires that were overtaken by them. Asia Minor, which is called Lydia back in the Old Testament, Babylon, which they had already taken over, and eventually they took over Egypt as well. Now, it's interesting that Daniel is seeing these things before they happen, right? So that he can then tell people, this is what God says. And then when people start to see these things, it's a verification, it's an authentication, it's a stamp from Daniel's words, from God's word, that this is what's going to happen. And people begin to see this and they're going like, well, wait a minute, Daniel was talking about this a few years back. You remember that? Now look what's happening. The third one is the leopard. And this is the Grecian Empire. Leopards were known for their speed, and there was no one who who moved and took over more of the world more quickly than Alexander the Great coming out of Greece. He conquered what was known as the known world at that point. And so the Babylonians, then the Medo-Persians, then the Grecians came and took over. The four heads, Alexander dies, and literally there's four generals in his kingdom who divide up the kingdom. And you can read through history and see exactly who they were and what their kingdoms were. But the Grecian Empire was never as strong any longer when they split into four different kings or generals. But then we come to this point in Daniel's dream and in this prophecy that he's watching and hearing come to pass. And we see the scary beast. Well, many people believe it's Rome, past and future. What I mean by that is the Roman Empire became the empire of all empires. There was no other empire that controlled the way the Roman Empire did. It devoured its victims and it trampled them. The first three empires used what was already there. They didn't go in and just crush everything and tear everything down. They used what was there. I mean, they were like, why would we tear that down? It's a good building. That's a good aquifer. That's a good, you know, and they used those things. But Rome, this is what they did. They went in and they destroyed everything. I mean, why would they come to Jerusalem and destroy the most beautiful building ever made, Solomon's Temple? Why would they do that? Because they didn't build it. And it wasn't about their God. And they destroyed everything that was in front of them, and then they built their own. Babylon took captives from Jerusalem, but Rome destroyed the temple. And then it begins to talk about the ten horns, not ten, T-I-N, ten horns, but ten, T-E-N, the ten horns and the little horn. Now this is exactly a reference that comes out of Revelation, beginning in Revelation about chapter 7 and beyond, about the Antichrist. This beast that rises up from the ocean. And he has, if you read it in Revelation, ten horns. But then there will be one more that rises up and begins to speak on his behalf, the Antichrist. And he will begin to speak the lies of the evil one to this world. And this beast will begin to attempt to eradicate anyone who believes in the true God. Now, with all those things mentioned in this one dream that Daniel had, it's interesting that this covers a period of time. This covers a period, I mean, beginning a couple thousand years before that, now up to the time of Jesus, and now even to our time, Daniel's saying these are things that are going to take place. The word eschatology, and you may have heard this word used multiple times, literally, it's the study of the things that are to come. It's a connection of two Greek words, exactos, which means the last things, and logio, which means the discourse of the last things. So in other words, eschatology is a picture of the way the last things are going to come to place. It's the study of the last days. And so from our perspective, prophecy is really twofold. Prophecy foretells things that are going to come, but it also reveals to us the things that will come. Now, you might say, well, wait a minute. If you're a prophet, it means you see things that are going to come and you tell people about it. That's what a prophet is. It's not a diviner. It's not a hand reader. It's not somebody who looks into some kind of a crystal ball. It's not any of those things. It's somebody who tells somebody what's going to happen, not according to the things that we see by some kind of weird thing. We tell people what's going to happen because of God's Word and what He said. And so, by the way, if you ever tell anybody that this world's going to come to an end and there's going to be a great 7 years of a horrible time, and the church of God is going to be raptured out of here, and you begin telling them those things, they're going to probably think, what are you talking about? Where do you come up with that stuff? We don't have to say we had a dream. We have to say it's God's Word. And God continues to reveal Himself to us through His Word. And I tell you what, folks, some of this stuff, let's just say some of this stuff a few hundred years ago would have been so, how could that possibly be? But now we see how it could be. And things are progressing quicker and quicker and quicker. And it seems like the time clock is speeding up, speeding up, speeding up. And it even talks about, back in verse 18, I like how it says this. It says, the four great, starting in 17, the four great beasts are four kingdoms that will rise from the earth, but the saints of the Most High will receive the kingdom and will possess it forever. Yes, forever and ever. Even the rapture is revealed here. Because it's talking about the holy people will receive the kingdom and possess it forever. Now, that begins when we receive Jesus and we possess Him forever in our hearts. And you might say, well, wait a minute. How does that fit in with the kingdom? What did Jesus say? He says, the kingdom of God has come. The kingdom of God has come. We're not talking about an end time kingdom that's going to set up its roots here on the earth for 1,000 years. We're not talking about that. In fact, Jesus, when He was teaching us how to pray, He says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And where's that coming from? It's coming from that God wants to set up His kingdom in us right now. Right now, right where we are. See, Daniel, he's seeing that on the other side of salvation. He doesn't understand the whole ramification that the Messiah is going to come and lay down His life for his people. But the fact is he could see that there was a point that something was going to happen so that this was going to happen. And so in verses 21 and 22, it begins to mention Jesus. As I watched, this horn was waging war against the saints, and he was defeating them until what? The Ancient of Days came and pronounced judgment in favor of the saints of the Most High. And the time came that they possessed the kingdom. Jesus comes to give the solution. What Christmas is all about is that Jesus came to this earth to begin this process. And as he begins this process, he begins it on a spiritual battlefield. And when you think about all the things that Jesus went through here on this earth, they weren't really physical things until his crucifixion. And even the crucifixion was not necessarily just a... In fact, it was mostly not just a physical thing. It was a spiritual battle. But Jesus was going from place to place, and although he was healing people physically, more often than not, they were understanding that there was something deeper than physical. And they began to see that, who is this? They were amazed. Who is this? Is he the Son of God who can come and do this? Then verses 23 through 25 began to show a picture of the first 3.5 years. In fact, it specifically says it like this. He gave this explanation. The fourth beast is the fourth kingdom that will appear on the earth. It will be different from the others, trampling it down, crushing it. The 10 horns are the 10 kings who will come from this kingdom. And after them, another king will arise, different from the early ones. He'll subdue 3 kings. He will speak against the Most High. He'll oppress his saints and try to change and set times and laws. And the saints will be handed over to him for time, times, and half a time. That's talking about 3.5 years. And so the first part of the 7 years, the people who did not get taken out in the rapture but came to know Christ because of the good news that are spread. By the way, when you read through Revelation, you'll realize that there's going to be a huge revival take place in the first 3 years of the a tribulation. And there will be multiple millions of people who come to know Christ. Why? Because they're going to realize what God said is going to happen has now happened. But they'll have to die for their faith. So these are the people who will believe after the rapture. And then in verses 26 and 27, it talks about the second coming. The second coming, by the way, is not the rapture. And we need to make sure that we don't get those things mixed up. The rapture is when we will go and meet Christ in the air. But then at the end of the 7 years, the Scripture says Jesus will come. The beast will be destroyed. The great white throne judgment will take place. And Daniel admits that he's deeply troubled because, again, he's seen these things before they come to pass, and he doesn't understand it all. We can't even understand it all yet. But the Scripture says there will be a day when our eyes are opened up. Paul says, right now I'm seeing like through a glass partially, but then I will see face to face. We don't understand how all this is going to take place. We don't understand every little detail about it. But I can guarantee you, the more you see things happening around us, it starts to become clearer and clearer and clearer. I mean, how's everybody going to take a mark so that they can buy and sell? Pretty easily, isn't it now? You know, 20 years ago, nobody could have figured that out. Pretty easy now. So he's deeply troubled. He doesn't really understand all of this, but he knows it's the truth. He hears these things from his perspective. Before the atoning sacrifice of Christ, before his resurrection over death, and before his ascension. And so Daniel is trying to figure this out. What is it you're trying to show me, God? You know why God showed Daniel this, I believe? It's so that we can see that it's always been God's plan. And Daniel was willing to write it down. He was willing to say, I don't understand this. I don't know exactly what's all going on, but this is what God showed me. I'm writing it down just so you know. And here we are, thousands of years later, talking about what he wrote down. And thinking, you know, if we'd have seen this 20 years after Daniel, we'd have gone, that guy was crazy. What's he talking about? What is he talking about? But we look at it now, we go, wow, this is just another revelation of what God is talking about. And I honestly believe, according to God's word, that when this happens, it's going to happen so quickly. I mean, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, the trump's going to sound. And we're going to be out of here. And this world's going to be looking for answers. And they're going to be going like, where did all these people go? And what's going on? And there's some kind of, it must have been an alien invasion. Right? And they're going to start believing a delusion because somebody's going to step up who's really good at talking and who's really influential and has great amounts of money and great amounts of power. And he's going to say, hey, listen, everybody don't get so crazy over this. It's all explainable. This is what we need to do, and people will just buy it. And they'll just follow right in line. Except for those who've heard and start to realize, man, we missed it. Missed it. That's why I think there's going to be a lot of people who go to church right now who've really never trusted Jesus Christ as their own personal Lord and Savior. They've been really religious. But when this happens, it's going to click. And they're going to realize, this is what I need to do. But they'll have to die for it. I'll have to die for. Pretty amazing. Way back in Daniel, we already start to see this stuff come to pass. Well, let's have a word of prayer. Father, I ask that you'll just help us now, Lord, as we continue to study and we see more and more things that are revealed that are just authentications of things that you say you're going to do and now you're doing. You're in the process of doing. You're always at work. You're always fulfilling your plan and your purpose for this world. And Lord, I get excited about the fact that one day soon, Jesus is coming again. And he's coming to take his children home. And there'll be a day when there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. And there will be no more sorrow, no more tears, no more crying, no more death. And we will be with you forever. I look forward to that day, Father. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.